turn with me to Hosea chapter 2. We're going to be going there in just a moment. And if you don't know where Hosea is, it's between the book of Daniel and the book of Joel. Now, if you don't know where Daniel is and you don't know where Joel is, it's in the Old Testament. You'll find there. And I'll give you a moment to get there. So if you'll do that. Not in the series this morning. Preaching on something that I believe the Lord laid on my heart, and want to talk to you about a wilderness experience. And anybody know what that's like? Everybody been there, so you know. If you haven't been there, wait, you'll get there. And I want you to just see something as we look at God's Word and as we read these scriptures. I'm going to be sharing just a couple things. Hosea chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 14 and 15. I think your bulletin says 13, 14, but it's 14, 15. And starting at verse 14. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came in. Up out of Egypt. Now I want you to look at a couple things here, and without reading a whole bunch of passages, I want you to know that the book of Hosea is talking about a relationship between a husband and wife, a wife that has walked away from God, doing things that weren't pleasing God, but it's also a book talking about the rebellious nation of Israel and them going away from the Lord and his wanting to return the nation of Israel back to him. So in chapter 2, verse 6, he says, therefore I will block her path with thorns. And then he goes on and he says, I'll lead you into the desert. That's the text. And then in verse 16, he says, in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer be called my master. In that day, I will make a covenant with them. And in verse 21, he says, in that day, I will respond. How many need God to respond in something that's going on in your life this morning? And he gives this scenario between the nation of Israel and a relationship that we're going to see between Hosea and his wife Gomer. But would you just bow your head with me this morning? I just trust that God has something for each and every one of us. Here's the great thing about God's Word. God's Word is alive and well, and everybody should say amen, and God's Word can minister to numerous circumstances. So we can see God work in amazing ways for each and every one of us. That's the great thing about God's Word. Father, we just thank you as we go to your Word today and as we look at this passage with Hosea and his wife Gomer. We see the rebellious nature of Israel and you're pulling them back and desiring to minister. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we look at this wilderness experience, we've all been there, we all tasted it, we all don't like it. And yet, Lord God, there is great opportunity in the wilderness. There is great opportunity for you to minister to each and every one of us. And I pray, Lord God, as we look in your Word, may you just speak to each one of us in our own special way, Lord God. May your Word come alive in our circumstance, in our situation. And Lord God, may we be encouraged. May we be strengthened. And that you would lead us and guide us, Lord God. We'll give you honor and we'll give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. See, most every time that somebody talks about the wilderness, we always think that it's a bad thing, right? Any time that you look at in the Bible with Israel and all the things and all the times that God has had to chastise them and bring them back, we always think that a wilderness experience it is bad. And every time that you're in a wilderness experience, God's taking you to the woodshed for something. But I want you to know something. If you remember nothing else today, if you remember nothing else, I say that remember that good things can come from a wilderness experience. There is good things that God can do when he gets your attention And takes you and allows you to be alone sometimes and allows you to not quite understand everything that's going on. So if you remember nothing else, remember that good things can come out of the wilderness. In fact, if you're willing, I think the Lord can invite us into the wilderness and or at least let you know what is going on in your wilderness right now, and that it could change your life forever. I believe that with all my heart, because that's the God that we serve. God desires to take us into that wilderness experience to teach us, to show us, to help us to learn something that would help us later on down the road. So let me give you some background in this. There's probably four main characters. Probably not a book of the Bible that you go to a lot. It's not a familiar one. It's one of the minor prophets. But there's four main characters in the whole book. It's a man named Hosea and his wife Gomer. And then there's this rebellious nation of Israel. And then there's God. So there's like four main characters that go out through this. Hosea's wife is probably not one that would be high on your list. She didn't think much of her marriage. She was selling herself to other men, and she had walked away not only from her husband, but walked away from God. And then you have Hosea. So here's a man that has an adulterous wife. Here's a man that at wit's end. He doesn't know what to do. He desires to try to put this back together, and he's not knowing what he's going to do. He's at wit ends, and feeling like God had abandoned him. And then there's this. There's God. There's God in the midst of all of this, and Gomer, Hosea's wife, blamed God, so that's why she was acting the way she was acting. Hosea was hurt by God not coming to the rescue and doing things the way he thought that he should. So here's the scenario. Two people in the wilderness, right? Two people in the wilderness for two different reasons. And God, in the midst of all that, in their circumstance, here's God trying to minister to two different people in two different ways while they're in this wilderness experience. These verses is about the rebellious wife, Gomer, but it's also about that rebellious nature and nation of Israel. The story is about a relationship with God. The story is about our relationship between God and His people. And in this passage, we see God's pain because of the rebellious nature of the bride Israel. And we see that God gives this invitation for them to repent and to return to Him. That's a mouthful. Jesus offers us this time of tender talk. And He offers us this time of healing. And He offers us this time of restoration. He's not only offering us warning. See, we love to blame God and say, "You're always taking away something that I want to do. You're always giving me these warnings and everything that you always warn me about are all the things that I like." But it's not about only these warnings God's given. It's about the invitations that God's giving in His mercy for us to return to Him. And I think three things can happen in the wilderness. I think there's a time of preparation that God, you know, we don't like the wilderness experience because God takes that time and prepares us for things that are going on in front of us that we have no idea. So that's why we think, well, God, why are you doing the things that you're doing? But God sometimes takes those moments and prepares us for what He's doing ahead of us. And then I think in the wilderness we can have this life-changing opportunity. You know, it's kind of like I laughed. Oh, I got an opportunity for you. And usually that comes with something that you don't really want to do. But I think that with this in the wilderness, that God gives us this life-changing opportunity to do something special. And the third part in the wilderness, I think there's personal transformation. And nobody likes the transformation. You know, because God says that He wants us to be more in the image of Christ. And that's painful. Because there's things God wants to take out of our lives and there's things God wants to put in our lives. So that Psalm 139 tells us that that God knew us from the womb. So I want to say this morning, from the womb to the tomb, God knows what's going on in our lives, and He wants to work on our behalf. He wants to give us these opportunities to get our relationship with Him right. So whether you call it a desert experience, whether you call it the wilderness, whether you feel like God's abandoned you, whatever you want to call it, I'm telling you this morning that God wants to take those times and do something amazing in your life if you'll let Him. You remember when God took Israel and led them from the captivity of Egypt? That should have been a joyous time. What happened though? They started murmuring. They started, complaining. There they are. God brings them out of that captivity. He's taking them into the wilderness, but he's walking with them. He had just set them free, and there they are. They're crying. They're complaining. They're angry. They're mad at God. They're wanting to go back because now all of a sudden the back was better than what was ahead. But God had a purpose for that wilderness experience. God had a purpose, and He was going through there, and He was trying to accomplish some things in their lives. And I know it's only me, so I'm like talking to myself just for a moment, so just bear with me. But there's probably three questions that I ask in the desert, and that would be, how did I get here? Isn't that true? One of the questions you ask yourself is, how did I get here? I don't like it, I didn't plan for it, but how did I get here? The second question I'd ask is, what am I supposed to do now? And the third question is, when am I going to get out of here? That those three questions are always the questions I ask. Not you, but I ask. And the answer, I'll start with the last one. The last one is simple. When am I getting out of here? I don't know. That's the answer. I don't know. You'll get out when God's done with you. That is the about as simple as I can say. When we get out of there is when God is done and through with you, and has either changed what He wanted to change or taught you a lesson that He intended you to learn. Now, how did I get there? That's probably different for each one of us, isn't it? Each one of us. Some things we get there by things that we've done. Some things we get there by things that we've done and didn't know about. And sometimes we're there because of somebody else or another situation, and we have no control over that at all. So it doesn't matter this morning whether you blame God or blame others, or you're saying, God, I accept it. It was me. I know why I'm here. It doesn't matter. In that circumstance, God wants to do some amazing things. God wants to accomplish something in your life. And the only thing I can say about answering the question, what am I supposed to do, is learn to trust and obey God. That is probably the long and the skinny of that. And that's about as good an answer as I can give you. That no matter how you got there, you've got to trust God and lean on God and obey Him for the things that you know to do. And in the midst of that, God will lead you and guide you. See, because here's the thing. If you're trusting God and allowing Him to teach you and show you, when you begin to make mistakes, now I guess I'm talking to myself again. When I begin to make mistakes, God will redirect you because your heart's right, because you're wanting to seek His face. So He's going to redirect that and help you through those cases. So here's number one. Number one thing, preparation in the wilderness. The wilderness times should take you deeper with the Lord. It should take you deeper. Now sometimes you're rebelling against God. And then you know what happens? You go deeper into the wilderness. You become more feeling like you're secluded, because God is going to get your attention, because you have two choices. You can either go deeper with the Lord and get in a deeper relationship with Him, or you can push Him away. And as a child of God, God will not let you push Him away very easily. He will always want to bring you back. He will always try to minister to Him. So we can say we hate the wilderness experience. We can say it all we want, but God will use it. I won't go as far to say that God likes taking us to the wilderness. But I will say that God will use that time to minister. He will prepare us for what's ahead. In Deuteronomy 8, paraphrased, the Lord led Israel for 40 years in the wilderness to humble them and to teach them. Now, anybody besides me feel like that sometimes that wilderness feels like 40 years? But sometimes we wander around in a circle. Sometimes God says, hey, this is the way out. And we say, no, God, no thanks. And God says, okay, keep walking. God will say, well, you're not humble yet. And you will just, he will just keep testing you, keep showing you what is going on. See, God wants to see our heart. God will allow us to go through these times so that he can see our heart, so we can see what our heart really is. Because sometimes our heart and what we think our heart is doesn't match up. Oh, God, yes, I love you. And then God puts us through a little bit of a test, and we really see where we're at. And sometimes God says, okay, there's a little bit of a reality check. See, you thought you were here, but you're really here. So we need to do something about that. So he shows us our heart, and he allows us to go through it so that we would be faithful. And in the meantime, now here that they, you know, the 40 years of the Israelites wandering around, the Lord fed them, provided them clothes that didn't wear out, and they forgot about that. And sometimes we're in that wilderness experience too. Anybody have that oil jar that just seems to always be full? And you wonder, and you think, God, I don't know how you're doing this, but you're meeting my needs. You're helping that jar to stay full. Anybody besides me just see that God sometimes lets our clothes last a little longer, allows the dollar to stretch, and you think only you could do that, Lord. But sometimes in our wilderness experience, because we get in that circumstance, because that one situation is staring us in the face, sometimes we forget what God is doing. And God's saying, you know what? I'm not going to let you forget. I'm going to let you learn from this case. And Deuteronomy 8:5 says, as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Isn't that great? It's kind of like God chastening you, correcting you, and then saying, I love you. It's kind of like what you do with your children. Your children don't love me, do they? I'm doing this for you. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. But God says, and He's going to look at this, and he's going to chasten you. He's going to draw you close to himself. He's going to do those tough things because he has the end result in mind for us. We want immediate pleasure. We want immediately to get out of it. And God says, no, I have a purpose for this. And when you learn the purpose, then you're going to move on. If you listen to me, you will get out of that circumstance quicker. And God is longing for us to bring us through this wilderness and into the promises of God. That's one of his desires. Take us from this wilderness and our unsureness and take us into the promises of God. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago. You know, if you don't know the promises of God, God can't draw you there until you start studying and knowing what God wants for your life, what promises he does offer us. See, God doesn't, and we don't like this either. God doesn't promise that we won't go through deserts. But God doesn't say, well, you've been a Christian for 20 years, you don't have to go through no deserts anymore. God doesn't say, well, you've arrived and you're good with your kids, and your kids are serving God, and you have a good job, it's secure. And he doesn't say that you won't have any deserts. But he does say that he will take us through. He does say that he will help us. So what are we supposed to do? Allow the Lord in. Allow him to be in those circumstances. Allow the Lord to do what he needs to do. He will meet you in the center of the desert. That's the good news. He will meet you in the center of your desert, your wilderness, and he will be with you and he will prepare you for what he is wanting to do in your life. Expect God to be in the center of your circumstance. You hear me? Expect God to be in the center. God hasn't deserted you. No matter what your circumstance looks like, no matter what the devil's in your ear saying, no matter what other people are saying, God did not desert you. Expect God to be in the center of your desert. Don't hide from God. Run to God. Make yourself available. I'll give you a personal illustration. It's more than 20 years ago. I walked into a Nazarene church burned out from ministry. This is your pastor being very honest and letting you know that, you know, transparent. 20 years ago, I walked into a Nazarene church. I was burned out from ministry. I was mad at people. I was mad at God. I was mad at the circumstances that were going on in my life. I was ready to throw in the towel and say, God, you can have this. You win. I don't know what else to do. You win. And in the midst of me doing all of that and crying out to God, and here's the thing. God knows our heart anyway. So if you're mad at God, you might as well be honest with Him and tell Him that you're mad at Him. Because He knows what's going on in your life anyways. But in the midst of me going through that, God showed up. God showed up and said, now, that's exactly where you need to be at this time. First of all, be honest of what you're going through. Yes. People burned you. Things were going on. And there's things that are out of your control. That's where I want you. Be honest with me. You're in the desert for a reason. You're in the wilderness to learn something. And in the midst of all of that period of time, I remember God telling me that He's not going to abandon me, even though in my mind I thought He abandoned me. In the midst of my calling to be a pastor, I felt like God was taking it back. Let me tell you, God's not a giver that gives and takes it back. God reassured my call, and God also said, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to see you through this desert. And I want you to know something this morning. If you're honest with God, and because the Word of God says that He's not a respecter of person, He will see you through your desert too. He will see you through what you're going through. We hate the wilderness, but God will use it. And He will use it for His honor and glory. He will use it to teach us to go to the deeper level. Second thing that He wants to show us is the life-changing opportunity that He offers us. Hear me this morning. Stop looking at the wilderness as a place you go when you're bad. Can I say that again? Stop looking at the wilderness as only a place that you go when you're bad or God's mad at you. Because I want you to know something. Some people just miss a blessing that God has for them. And the altars were full this morning, so you know, thank God. But there's times that we miss out because God's saying, come to the altar. There's times that we miss out when God says, you've got to turn that over to me. And we say, no, not yet. We're holding on to it. We miss out. Because we think that we're bad. We think God is mad at us. And we don't realize that God wants to do something amazing in our life. God wants to make these changes in our life. Ever felt out of control? God likes you there somewhere, sometimes. We don't like it. It's like sandpaper. We hate it. But God says, that's the spot. When you're out of control, that means you're trusting me to do it. And then God's going to do some terrific things. God will take those opportunities to bring you out of your Egypt. Let me say that again. God will use those opportunities to bring you out of your immediate Egypts. But we're so afraid what people might think. Can you imagine missing a blessing from God because we're worried about what someone else would think? And 9 times out of 10, they're not thinking anything. But we think they're watching. They're seeing. What are they going to say? And we miss what God's trying to do. Instead of running towards God, a lot of times we run away from God. And I want you to know something. God's not pointing a finger of disapproval at you most of the time. If He is, He's going to let you know, because God's not afraid to tell you why He's upset at something you're doing or something that's going on. So we don't have to assume that God is pointing this finger of disapproval. Sometimes that's our own conviction. But in reality, God's holding His arms out and wanting to draw us in. He's offering us these arms out, wanting to make this life-changing opportunity in our lives. Here's another thing, don't forget. We don't choose those wilderness experiences. You don't say to God, give me one of those wilderness experiences, God. I haven't had one of those good whoopings in a long time. You know, I haven't been to the woodshed for a while. How about giving me one of those? It doesn't usually work that way. Because the only way I can tell you is you could be doing exactly what God wants you to do. Everything lined up, and everything could be going smooth. Everything could be going exactly the way you want, and all of a sudden it seems like the rug's pulled out from under you. That's when God says, whoop, time for a lesson. You know, that's the time that loved ones die. That's the time that a friend betrays you. That's the time that you may lose your job. That's the time that in yourself you've lost hope. And you find yourself at this unwanted place. In that unwanted place, trying to get your footing. We've all been there. That moment where you're in a spot that you can't control. You're trying to gather and get your footing. And here's the thing. You're trying to get back to normal. Right? Isn't that our saying? We're just trying to get back to normal. And here's what I want to tell you about a wilderness experience. God is saying normal is not my goal. I'm not trying to get you back to normal. That's not the goal. My goal is to get you more Christ-like. My goal is to have you have a deeper relationship with me. God will look you right in the eyeball and say, normal is not good enough. Being changed, being transformed is the goal. I have to be honest. When I go through those times, I would love to say that I've always been nice and spiritual. I would. Unfortunately, I can't. And I want you to know sometimes it's pathetic and ugly. And you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. See, I've been there that I thought God made a mistake. I've been there and I've been mad at God. I've been there and thought that God was picking on me. And then I've been there where I begin to tell God all the great things that I've done. Oh God, I've done this. And I helped this person. And I helped the little old lady across the street. And I did this and I did that. And you start trying to bargain with God. All in the sense that I just wanted God to let go of what He was doing on me. Oh God, it's kind of like your child. They'll tell you anything so they don't get corrected. They'll tell you anything as they're being walked to whatever discipline that you're going to give them. They will begin to tell you all the things that they've done good in the hopes that you would let them go, that this circumstance would stop. Because all I wanted at that moment was my life back. All I wanted at that moment, in the times that I thought like that, was that I wanted things to make sense. And after I stopped fighting God, and after I stopped having this pity party, God showed me what He wanted to do in the wilderness. And I look back, and you can't buy that. You can't put a dollar value on it. You can't put a lesson amount about it. Do I think sometimes that God could have done it another way? Yeah, I do. But I realize that God is God. And I realize that sometimes it's not any one thing that I'm doing bad, but it's because I told God I loved Him. And I told Him He could have my life. And when I tell Him that He can have my life, then He can do what He needs to do in it. So sometimes we go through that for no other reason than we said we belong to God. And God's saying, okay, then I'm going to make some of these changes. God wasn't mad at me. In fact, He loved me enough that He was going to see me through it. He was loving me enough that He wanted to be involved in my life. See, in my early understandings of God, I thought God was always trying to take things away. Ever been there? You become a Christian, or you're close to becoming a Christian, or you're deciding in your walk with God, and you're thinking, well, God, I got to give up this and this and this and this. And in my early understandings of God, I thought that too. God, why are you taking this and this and this and this? I enjoy this. I want to do this. But then the longer that I serve God, I realize that God really isn't trying to take things out of our life as much as He wants to give us life. God desires, because what you give up is minor to what God wants to give you in your life. He wants to separate us from who we were to what He wants us to be. And sometimes that's painful. And you know, when I stop firing God, okay, God, you're fired. And I began to surrender to God in these areas of my life, I began to see that it was less painful. It was more beneficial. Once we become transparent, God can do some of these amazing things. Once we admit our failures, and we're not trying to please everybody else for who they might see, and we're really being honest with God, it gives us and others hope. See, the way you approach some things sometimes offers hope to somebody else. Because I want you to know, somebody's watching every one of you. Somebody's watching me. That's just the way it is. As soon as we profess Christ, somebody's watching you. Somebody's going to watch how you're going to handle a circumstance. And sometimes when we just admit our failures, it gives us and others hope that God is big enough to meet their needs. That God is big enough to go through and in their circumstance, in their life. You know, there really is freedom in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:3-5 says this, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Then one of the scriptures says, but God chose the foolish. I love this, because that's the kind of God that we serve. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the world. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. The last thing I have is the third thing that I think happens in the wilderness is personal transparency. There's a personal transformation. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Just as the Spirit of the Lord, He is calling us to go from glory to glory. The wilderness exposes us to God so that our heart can freely see what God wants to do with no barriers and no fear. There really is truth when God says that we have to become the living epistles. Christ in us, according to the Word of God, the hope of glory. See, we can only minister with the overflow that's in our hearts. Did you get that? So when you're running on empty and you're not seeking God's face, you can only go so far. You can only do so many things. And as a church, the church universal, the church trying to meet people's lives and to evangelize without transformation is foolishness. It's worthless. Without God doing a transforming part in our lives, then we hand tie God into transforming somebody else's life through our example. God has a purpose for refining you. The Word of God says, but not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give up my glory to anyone else. Closing this morning by just saying this. God is looking. Jesus is looking for willing people who say they love Him to pass through this fire and get on the side of revival. That's what He's looking for. Because we're all not where we need to be. We're all wanting to, or should want to, go deeper with the Lord. And He wants to take us through some of these fires sometimes to refine us and allow us to go through it so that we can be more conformed to His image. And the question that we all have this morning is, are we willing to let God do it? See, you're going to have wilderness experiences, but how you react and how quickly you react is how long you're going to be there and what are going to be the end results of that. The Word says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you know, in the end of it says, you will not be despised. Talking about that the things that God wants, is an open heart, a heart that is willing to do and see and make available the things that God wants.